Good morning. I believe that we all have our own stories about our faith journey. Our faith as Catholic Christians and how we received that faith, how we have been living that faith. I have my stories too, which I would like to share with you a little bit. There are many times when people come to me and ask me, "Father, when did you become a Catholic? Are your parents Catholic?" And I like those questions. I thank them for that. That's a reminder for me to think of my faith more often and to value the treasure of faith that I have received. So I tell them, from what my mother told me, that I was baptized as an infant on the 8th day after my birth. Can you imagine that? Well, this was something common in our culture, in our tradition, in the Eastern Church that I come from, in Kerala, in India, where child infant baptism was a common thing. On the 8th day, exactly, I was baptized. I was not even opening my eyes at that time. You know? So I'm sure I didn't see the priest who baptized me. But of course, I believe my parents, they told me so. My mom said, "Yes, you were baptized on the 8th day, and it is my baptism certificate. It is there." And I know that my parents are Catholic. And I also know that both my grandparents, from both my mother's and father's side, they were also Catholics. And from what I heard from my grandma, I also know that my great-grandparents were Catholics too. Well, that's good to know. So already I have gone back a few generations already. As I was growing up, I tried to discover the root of my faith. And it went back, according to the historians and the theologians of the Eastern Church, it goes back to Saint Thomas the Apostle, one of the apostles of Christ, who traveled all the way from Israel, from Jerusalem, from the land of Holy Land, through Persia to India, to Sri Lanka and other neighboring countries, where he believed to have come in AD 52. After the ascension of Christ, he sent all the disciples to all over the world. And Thomas is believed to have come to India and baptized some of the Hindu Brahmins at that time in Kerala, where I come from. So I belong to this Eastern Syrian Catholic Church, which is one of the three major Eastern churches which are affiliated to the Roman See, to the Roman Church, under the Holy Father Pope Francis. So we are in full communion with the Catholic Church. No worries. Okay. As I was tracing my faith back to our ancestors, I see the beauty and the treasure that I have received from my parents, from my grandparents, from my great-grandparents, from our ancestors. And as I was growing up as a boy, I used to ask this question: why am I a Catholic? I mean, you should know the background. I am living in the midst of all these Hindus and Muslims. Mostly all of them were, my friends were all Hindus and Muslims. In the school where I studied, the people I relate with, our neighbors. So I used to wonder why I am a Catholic and not a Hindu or a Muslim. That made me curious to learn more about my faith. And thank God I had the opportunity to do so, to learn more, to dig deep into it since I entered the seminary. and studying for priesthood. That was a great opportunity for me to know more about my faith, where I come from. And I am so grateful to my ancestors for handing over that faith to the present generation. I'm sure you all have your own wonderful stories of the journey of faith, of where you received your faith from your parents or grandparents or ancestors, whether we have received it in the recent past or many years ago. It doesn't matter. What matters is how we value this gift of faith that we have received. And how are we living it today? That's what matters. How we live our Christian faith today, which we have received from our ancestors. And when I talk about ancestors, they don't stop with the apostles or Jesus Christ. It goes beyond. It goes back to Abraham, our great father in faith. And even goes beyond to Adam and Eve. That's where it all began. But the written history of the story of salvation begins from Abraham in the Old Testament. And in today's second reading, the author of the letter to the Hebrews so beautifully puts it, what faith is all meant for, what it really means. He says faith is the realization of what is hoped for. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. What a beautiful teaching, this great literature in Hebrews. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for. What do we hope for in our life? What do we hope for more than anything else? It's our eternal life, right? The inheritance of that eternal life that God has promised us from the very beginning of creation. That's what we are all hoping for. And that is what is we find in the scriptures. The story of salvation is all about that. Deliverance from death to new life. The first reading, the wisdom literature, beautifully speaks about the historical deliverance. The people of Israel who were saved from their slavery in Egypt. The great Passover from death to life. Because people put their faith in the Lord, in God who promised them a new land, a promised land, which they were to inherit through Moses and the other leaders. Which happened. The promise of God became a reality in the course of time. But they had to wait for a long time for the realization of that. But as long as they had the faith, they were not disappointed. But God is true to his promise. In the Old Testament, we see that in the life of Abraham, the great father in faith, who is our common father in faith. We all are descendants of Abraham in the Old Testament. God promised a great multitude of nations to Abraham. And there he goes. You know, they had one child. Hardly they received one child at old age. Isaac. And then God one day asked Abraham, come on, sacrifice your only son. Offer him as a sacrifice to me. Who would dare to do that? Longing for a child your whole life and you received one child at old age. And God is asking you to sacrifice that only son. But Abraham did though. He did so without hesitation. Because he believed that God who made that great promise to him is trustworthy. God will not fail you. He knew that God can even raise from the dead and bring life back to the world. And so the great faith of Abraham was rewarded. Isaac was spared, although Abraham willingly sacrificed him. But Isaac was saved, and God brought a multitude of nations out of Isaac and his descendants. That's what we are. We are all, we come from the 12 tribes of Israel. God's chosen people. Aren't we proud of that and happy and joyful that we are God's chosen people, the descendants of God's chosen people? As Thomas sang in today's responsorial psalm, we are chosen people of God. Are we proud of our Christian faith? How do we live our faith? Jesus tells in today's gospel, if you believe in me and in my Father, you have no need to fear. Do not have any fear. Just put your trust in me and in my Father. My Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Yes, that's what we are all aspiring for as Catholic Christians. If we are not, then we have no need of faith. The very purpose of our faith is looking forward to our eternal homeland, the promise that Jesus made to us. Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, who has come to offer us that eternal life. So he tells us in today's gospel through the two parables that he uses, the two parables of the servants who were prepared and waiting for their master to return. When their master returned, he found them ready and prepared and doing their duty on time. Therefore, the master was happy. He rewarded them for their faithfulness, for their fulfillment of their duties and responsibilities as faithful stewards. That's what we are. We are all God's servants, children of God, Jesus' servants here on earth. And we have received that great treasure of faith which we are called to live in today's society with the hope of attaining that eternal home, the salvation that he has promised for all of us, eternal life to come. So he says, be prepared, be ready, live your faith, and be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour we do not expect. Yes, after the 9 a.m. Mass, one of the parishioners came up to me and said, as an Narthex, he said, Father, when you said in the introduction of the Mass that we are here to meet the Lord, he got a shock of his life, he said. He said, I am not ready yet, Father. Because before I completed my sentence, we are here to meet the Lord in the Eucharist. That's what I meant. We meet the Lord many times in our lives, and meeting him in the Eucharist is one of the ways of meeting him. Although we are all waiting for that final meeting with the Lord, that will surely come, whether we are ready or not. So don't be shocked. Be prepared. If we are prepared, then we have nothing to be afraid of. That's what Jesus says. Put your trust in me and have no fear. Just trust in the Lord. No matter when it is going to happen, soon or later, one day it will happen. But that day, we will be found worthy of inheriting that eternal reward that he has promised for all of us. Let us share our faith with our children, grandchildren, and the future generations to come. Amen.